Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Campus police are investigating a sexual assault at another Triangle University, where this latest crime happened on North Carolina Central's campus.
Plus, Raleigh police are investigating multiple break-ins at local shops, where some business owners are on edge.
Also, a mission to space that was truly one for the record books. Not only did a NASA astronaut set the record for the longest space flight, he also claimed another first. We'll tell you about that. But first here this noon, campus police at North Carolina Central University are investigating a sexual assault on campus. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It happened early this morning at a residence hall. WRAL's Monica Casey is live on campus where some students are understandably concerned. Monica.
That's right. Students here tell me many of them woke up to that alert from the university about a rape here on campus, and they say it was an upsetting message to receive. Police say this happened here behind me at the Benjamin Ruffin Residence Hall. NC Central says police have identified a suspect, but they have not yet confirmed whether that person has been arrested. They also have not said whether that suspect is a student here at Central. I spoke with the junior here who says overall she believes campus is safe, and she's surprised by this.
Heartbreaking just because I was a orientation leader, so I know a lot of the students on campus, and I also have a lot of friends who also stay in that building. So like my first thought was, let me check on my friends.
A search of the NC Central police crime log shows another incident in that same residence hall early Saturday morning. That report describes that separate crime as a sexual battery. Now, NC Central police recommend students on campus avoid walking alone if possible and never prop open the door to a residence hall. Renee?
A few concrete things so people can stay safe. Monica Casey reporting live from Durham.
We now know the name of the man who died after a motorcycle crash in Wilson. Police say 30-year-old Alexis Ruffin died after a collision involving his motorcycle and a vehicle driven by 19-year-old Jaleela Newsom. The crash closed down part of Tarboro Street while police investigated that wreck. The WRL Breaking News Tracker saw a tow truck pull a vehicle and the motorcycle away from that scene. No word yet on charges. Three people are expected to recover after an early morning crash in Cumberland County. The crash happened just after 1 this morning at Camden Road and George Owen Drive. It's right in the Douglas Byrd area. We are waiting to find out what caused the crash and if any charges are expected.
For the second time in 2 weeks, Raleigh police are investigating a string of overnight break-ins at businesses. Three businesses on New Bern Avenue were robbed early this morning. WRAL's Keenan Willard is live at one of those scenes. And Keenan, you're asking police about a possible connection to past robberies.
We are, Renee, and you can really see the remnants of what happened overnight right here in the storefront of this Jersey Mike's on New Bern Avenue. All the glass smashed up there, as this is how thieves were able to get in around 3:30 this morning, both here and at two other businesses. Now, they stole the cash register, but the store says they don't keep any money inside, so not a severe financial loss here. These are some of the other scenes that police have told us about so far. Just up the street, the same thing happened at a Wingstop location. Their front door smashed in. Take a look at the surveillance footage. It shows two people looking like they're using a brick to bash in the front door, running inside, and then coming out with the cash register very quickly. Wingstop says they also didn't lose any money because it's their policy not to keep any cash in the register overnight. And then right next door, there was a vape shop location that police say was also the site of an attempted robbery. The owner of that location says they tried to break their way in, but were unsuccessful. That business was not robbed. And then there was this scene, a fourth scene, thieves breaking into the SMI Fix phone store. Surveillance video appears to show the exact same suspects from the Wingstop robbery carrying out the same type of crime, breaking in very quickly, making their way to the cash register and taking it out with about $200 inside. The store's owner says this won't be a huge financial loss, more of a concern about his store's safety.
I couldn't even sleep in the nighttime, and I have to stay here whole night, and the glass, we have to fix the glass. The glass cost like $1,000. And, even it's frustrating.
Now, as we said, we're talking about any possible connections with authorities. 2 weeks ago today, seven businesses in the Midtown Raleigh area were broken into in the early morning hours. We reached out to Raleigh police and asked if they have established any connection between this incident overnight and that one 2 weeks ago. They say at this point they are not ready to confirm. They say they're always investigating possible connections between incidents, both in their department and in other departments, and any more additional information would be released at the appropriate time. And then just 3 nights ago in Cary, four businesses by Cary Parkway were broken into in a similar style, thieves breaking into the front doors there. We reached out to Cary police, asked if they found any connection to this or the Raleigh break-ins 2 weeks ago. They say at this point there is no established connection. So a lot of cause for concern here, but no established connections, Renee.
I'm glad no one was hurt, but certainly a sense of security shattered there. Keenan Willard, live in Southeast Raleigh. The U.S. soldier who ran into North Korea across the heavily fortified border between the North and South is now in American custody. Travis King sprinted across the border during a July 18th public tour. Some observers had expected the North to drag out his detention in the hopes of squeezing concessions from Washington. King's fate remains uncertain, having been declared AWOL by the U.S. government. That can mean punishment by time in military jail, forfeiture of pay, or a dishonorable discharge.
We now know who will take part in tonight's GOP presidential debate. Seven Republicans looking for the top nod made the cut. And once again, former President Donald Trump will not take part. Here's a look at the candidates who will participate. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson appeared in the first date, but did not meet the RNC's criteria to participate in this second round. Right now, the reason is unclear for that. The debate will take place tonight at Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, Renee.
And his wife appeared in federal court today in Manhattan to formally respond to corruption charges. The Democrat and his wife charged with accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in return for favors with businessmen and the Egyptian government. A third co-defendant was arraigned Tuesday and pleaded not guilty. Menendez, who has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing, is also expected to plead not guilty. We want to show you now this video of a car driving off after the driver hit a woman on Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh. The woman tells WRAL the driver hit her on purpose. The victim wants to stay anonymous. She tells us the driver slowed down while she and her girlfriend crossed the street. She says the driver rolled down the window and pointed a finger gun at them with a smile on her face, then hit her as she started crossing again.
I did go up on the hood of the car, which launched me probably about 10 feet. Landed right on my right hip, had a pretty big asphalt scrape, a couple bruises.
People who saw the car drive away posted to Reddit about it. That's how the victim got the license plate and identity of the driver, Julia Johnson. Court records show Johnson has a history of hit and runs and other charges, including assault with a deadly weapon. Johnson is still in jail and has a court appearance next month. A controversial new law is forcing Wake County school leaders to carefully consider how to move forward. The Wake County Board of Education's Policy Committee spent a considerable time yesterday debating how to address the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights. It bans teaching on sexuality and gender identity through the fourth grade. It also gives parents access to lists of what their kids check out from the library, and it requires teachers to notify parents if a student wants to change their preferred name or pronoun.
And I would deserve the right to know what the school is trying to implement without my consent.
I'll never forget the looks my teachers gave me when I told them that I preferred the name Rowan. Something that was so simple just 3 months ago was now almost feared.
The committee voted to send some policy changes to the next full meeting of the board on October 3rd. The Powerball jackpot is $850 million. This is the fourth largest jackpot in the game's history. If you win, you could take home $397 million. The drawing is tonight on WRAL just before our 11 p.m. news.
Next at noon, teaching all of American history in schools. How civil rights leaders are raising concerns about current limits on teaching history nationwide.
Also, a return to Earth, the journey of a NASA astronaut who spent a record length of time in space.
Well, the hunt is on for a suspected murderer. Shocking details in the death of a 26-year-old CEO in Baltimore. Elizabeth.
Plus, the skies look threatening now, don't they? Look at that gray sky there over downtown Durham. I'll show you where we're seeing a little bit of drizzle and how things will look as you're headed home.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Another day closer to a possible government shutdown, and there is still no deal in sight. Lawmakers in the House and Senate are on two different paths with no clear plan to get on the same page. Republicans in the House want big spending cuts and more funding for the southern border. A bill passed with those terms will likely not pass in the Democrat-controlled Senate. Senators passed their own bipartisan measure. That likely won't pass in the House. The deadline is Saturday, and if no deal is reached by midnight, the government could shut down on Sunday.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center this afternoon, Senator Tom Tillis is speaking out about that funding bill. He says that he would vote against the bill in its current form. He did release a statement saying a bill to fund the government needs to pass in both chambers with bipartisan support. It makes no sense for the Senate to waste the rest of the week voting on a spending bill that is dead on arrival in the House. He said that guarantees a shutdown. He says he will only vote for a bill that is viable in both chambers.
Thanks, Michelle. A potential shutdown is a concern for local military families. It comes as North Carolina Defense Summit is happening right now in Raleigh today. WRAL's Laura Levine explains how families will be affected if lawmakers don't reach a deal.
The North Carolina Defense Summit is underway here at the Hilton behind me in North Hills. And this event is not only highlighting the substantial economic impact that the military has on North Carolina, but also providing job opportunities for those who have served. And we all know this is coming as that government shutdown inches closer and closer. Lawmakers are running out of time to get the legislation passed. And while the two chambers go back and forth, this time around, it's military families that are at risk of losing out on their paychecks next month. Retired Army Colonel David Hayden says he's lived through this before while in uniform, where they had to continue to work and serve.
Oftentimes, the families are the ones that'll pay the price if there's any impact on income, but you're not going to impact the desire of the uniform members to continue to serve their country because they know how important their mission is to maintain and protect our national security.
So military families would be impacted if an exception isn't made, and while they will still be made whole, that short-term lapse could be very difficult for them. And as far as legislation being passed, chamber leaders have not passed legislation to protect them, instead hoping that the budget will pass before that October 1st deadline. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Tickets from Ford's Theater, valid the night President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, sold for more than $500,000. The tickets were from the performance of the play Our American Cousin in Washington, D.C. on the night Lincoln was shot. The two paper tickets are green, creased in the center, and clipped in the corner, likely by the ticket taker when presented for admission. It is unclear who the tickets belong to, but they were in an envelope that read complimentary.
Civil rights leaders who helped desegregate Arkansas schools are denouncing current limits on teaching history. It's been 66 years since the Little Rock Nine became the first black students to attend an all-white high school in the city. Five members of the group attended a forum where they raised concerns about history education nationwide. Terrence Roberts says it's imperative schools teach children all of American history.
It seems to be there's a movement afoot around the country to restrict not only AP courses in African American studies, but almost any other thing that you could might think of that might lead to students developing a more thorough understanding of what's truly going on around them.
Another panelist says she thinks it's important for kids to understand each other's traditions.
Some families in Maui are finally being allowed to return to their properties after last month's deadly wildfires. Marian Rafferty reports on the precautions being taken to ensure their safety and the heartfelt items some people are finding under piles of ash and debris.
One by one, residents of Lahaina continue making the painful journey back to the sites where their homes once stood. After the Environmental Protection Agency began allowing re-entry to some burn zones this week.
They're finally getting some closure, which will take to the next step with some healing.
Much of the historic Maui town was off limits to anyone but authorized recovery teams after last month's deadly wildfire. The blaze killed at least 97 people and destroyed more than 2,000 structures.
And our cat.
This is my
She's gone too. The cat would see us and then she would run to the front door to greet us.
Returning survivors are armed with protective suits and face masks to stop them from breathing in ash or potentially being exposed to any dangerous debris. They're beginning the agonizing process of sifting through the rubble to try and locate any personal belongings that may have survived the flames.
This is a souvenir my mom gave me when my dad passed away.
This was his police pistol.
The first thing I found was my mother's jade bracelet, and I found another jade pendant.
Only a few hundred properties have been cleared for re-entry so far. Officials say mental health professionals are helping those returning to process their grief, as many try and look toward a brighter future.
We're going to keep the property we like to rebuild.
It's heartbreaking there. It was Marianne Rafferty reporting. As other survivors wait for more zones to be cleared for re-entry, portions of West Maui are still expected to reopen to tourists on October 8th.
NASA astronaut Frank Rubio returned safely to Earth after a record-setting mission to space. Rubio is the first American to spend more than a year in space. That was not the plan, though. He initially planned to spend only 6 months in space, but his Russian ride home fell through, forcing him to remain at the International Space Station for over a year. He and two Russian cosmonauts parachuted to a landing site in Kazakhstan on the Russian Soyuz capsule. Rubio logged a total of 371 days in space. Get this, he is also the first astronaut of Salvadoran origin to travel to low Earth orbit. But he couldn't wait to get back to Earth and says he is looking forward to family, fresh food, and also silence because of all that humming from all the computer equipment at the ISS.
I hope he likes gravity, too. He's been without it for over a year. It makes it difficult to even stand up. That's why they carry him out. You can't stand up right away. You can't hold your body weight.
I love that he set a record, but he didn't even intend to.
No, unexpected.
Technicality.
Elizabeth Gardner with a look around our space here locally, and clouds just won't give in.
No, they won't. We take a live look here at downtown Raleigh past the legislative building. When I pulled this camera up about 5 or 10 minutes or so ago, you could see a lot of sprinkles on the camera lens, but it's also breezy out there. You can see the camera shaking just a little bit. I think that breeze sort of dried off the camera lens a little bit, but there was definitely some water on the camera lens here. So a little bit of drizzle is happening out there right now. Temperatures are chilly in the mid-60s. We're going to see temperatures climbing into the upper 60s for this afternoon, which is about 5 degrees cooler than yesterday. But, you know, anytime you have cloudy skies, it tends to feel cooler. You know, you just don't have that sunshine to enjoy. We take a look at what's happening here on radar. Now, you look here near Clayton, and you can see a couple of blobs here that aren't moving. That's going to be ground clutter. So the radar is just picking up some things on the ground that's reflecting off of. But you can actually see some of those radar echoes moving across Wake County. So there's definitely a little bit of light patchy rain that's falling in a few places. It's very light and patchy, but again, it was enough to have some water on the camera lens there in downtown Raleigh. This is a look at our high-resolution satellite. A lot of stuff going on here. We have our wind at the surface coming out of the northeast, and that is pushing cool, damp air into our region. Then in the mid and upper levels, we have air coming in out of the southwest. You can sort of pick out the different motion there. When we have this particular setup, we call it cold air damming, and it tends to bring a cloudy day with a little bit of drizzle, exactly like we're seeing. It's also a bit of a hard pattern to see break down and move out. We do have a low that's sitting here along the coast. That's one of the reasons that we have that strong flow coming out of the northeast, bringing us the clouds and the potential for drizzle, the cool temperatures. A bit breezy too with that low sitting just off the coast. We don't have any gusts anywhere except for here in Clinton. In the white box, we have our gusts there at 16 miles per hour coming out of the northeast. But winds are steady anywhere from 5 to about 13 miles per hour, so it feels a little breezy. This is a look at our potential wind gusts through the afternoon. Probably going to be around 10 to 15, maybe 20 mile per hour wind gusts as we get through the afternoon, especially closer to the coast. Our temperatures right now range from 59 in Roxborough to 69 in Fayetteville, but most of us are sitting in the mid-60s right now, and that's going to run anywhere from 3 to almost 10 degrees cooler than it was yesterday.
yesterday, probably just enough to be able to tell a difference. 69 this afternoon in Raleigh, 68 in Durham, and 73 degrees in Fayetteville. Futurecast showing pretty much exactly what's happening out there. We have just a little bit of light green showing up on Futurecast. A little bit of sun may try to peek through later this afternoon, but we're not going to see a whole lot of that. 79 is our normal high, so today's 69 is 10 degrees cooler than that. But we start to warm up. Thursday, 75, Friday, 77. Just in time for the weekend, we start to see this pattern breaking down just a little bit. We have the big Bluegrass Festival in downtown Raleigh, 77 Friday and Saturday. It does look like it'll stay dry, and those are pretty pleasant temperatures. I'm not going to promise that it will be completely sunny, but it should be nice to be outside. We get back to a lot of sunshine finally by Monday and Tuesday, and highs will be in the low 80s. There are a couple of systems in the tropics that I want to show you. We'll come back with that in just a little bit.
Elizabeth, thanks. The Diocese of Raleigh is growing with more members now than before COVID.
The diversity is growing. It is more obvious now to see how diverse we are becoming.
Tonight at 6, Bishop Luis Zarama talks only to WRAL about how the Catholic Church is rebounding from the pandemic.
And today at 5, a wet diaper means cranky baby. 5 on Your Side shows you which diapers Consumer Reports found kept kids the most dry. And still ahead this noon, Amazon is facing a government antitrust lawsuit. How the FTC says the company is abusing its power.
Plus, the Film Academy agrees to replace an award that's been missing for more than 60 years. The historical significance of the prize.
Some clouds over Chapel Hill as we look at the Franklin Street intersection. Top of the hill camera there. Good afternoon to you as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
The Federal Trade Commission is suing Amazon, accusing it of using monopoly power in its online marketplace. 17 states joined the suit, which says Amazon's practices keeps prices artificially high and hurts competition. It also claims Amazon punishes third-party sellers who do not use its in-house logistics services by not allowing them to sell under the Prime badge. Amazon says the practices the FTC challenges have helped spur competition and led to lower prices in the retail industry. The Art Institute is closing 8 campuses across the country by the end of the month, leaving nearly 2,000 students scrambling. The Art Institute is a for-profit college with locations in Texas, Atlanta, Miami, Tampa, and Virginia Beach. Officials say it has suffered from low enrollment since the pandemic. Before that, in 2015, the school paid $95 million to settle fraud allegations and lost its accreditation.
2 new awards will be handed out at the 2024 Golden Globes, one for Best Cinematic and Box Office Achievement and another for Best Stand-Up Comedian on Television. In order to qualify, films must achieve a box office gross of $150 million, with $100 million of it coming from the U.S. That'll qualify you for Best Cinematic and Box Office Achievement. Comedians must give a traditional stand-up performance of at least 30 minutes that aired in the U.S. within the qualifying calendar year. The 81st Golden Globe Awards take place January 7th. The Academy Awards is replacing the missing plaque awarded to the first black actor to win an Oscar. The late Hattie McDaniel won Best Supporting Actress in 1940 for her performance in Gone with the Wind. At the time, supporting actor winners received plaques, not statuettes. She bequeathed her award to Howard University, where it was on display until the late 1960s, but it has been missing since then. The replacement Oscar will be given to Howard's Chadwick Boseman College of Fine Arts during a ceremony October 1st.
Some of your favorite late-night talk shows will be returning soon. The vote in Hollywood that's making that possible. Plus, ooh, ooh, ah!
Show. Tonight is the big night. We'll find out if the 82nd Airborne Chorus wins it all on America's Got Talent. And here's a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We turn now to the shocking murder of a 26-year-old tech CEO in Baltimore. Now the hunt is on for her suspected killer that police believe is armed and dangerous. NBC's Emily Ikeda explains he is also listed as a registered sex offender.
This morning, a massive manhunt in Baltimore. Police searching for this man, 32-year-old Jason Billingsley.
We know he probably is armed and dangerous.
Authorities believe he murdered 26-year-old tech CEO Pavel LaPere, who was found dead in an apartment building with signs of blunt force trauma. Investigators do not believe LaPere knew her killer and offered this chilling warning to residents in the area.
This individual will kill and he will rape. He will do anything he can to cause harm. So please be aware of your surroundings.
Billingsley has a lengthy rap sheet, including a sex offense and assault convictions, according to officials, who say he was released from jail last fall, fueling frustrations from the mayor.
We are tired of talking about the same people committing the same kind of crimes over and over again.
LaPere's murder shocking co-workers who called her a visionary and deeply compassionate.
Pavo, CEO and founder of EcoMap Technologies.
While a student at Johns Hopkins University, LaPere founded EcoMap Technologies, which eventually secured nearly $8 million in financing. She made Forbes' prestigious 30 Under 30 list this year for her work's social impact.
We've mapped a dozen plus ecosystems across the U.S. and the world.
Pava was always a fighter for what was right in the world.
Matt Conwell was a friend and mentor.
What was Pava like?
Pava was that person who was always smiling, always optimistic, and always looking to help others. Like, even the company she started was literally to help others. Pava was one of the best of us.
This morning, LaPere's family calling her an inspiration to so many people. She was driven, creative, hardworking, and relentless, they wrote, sharing these photos of the beloved 26-year-old whose life was brutally cut short.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Michigan. Michigan State University has fired their head football coach, Mel Tucker. This comes in the wake of sexual misconduct allegations against him by rape survivor and advocate Brenda Tracy. Michigan State informed Tucker last week that they intended to fire him, saying even a positive result for him would not be enough to save his job. A hearing is scheduled for October 5th and 6th. His legal team does intend to fight the decision in court. The university has said that Harlan Bennett will be interim coach for the rest of the season.
ChatGPT is adding a new voice feature that'll give you the ability to have a conversation with the AI chatbot. You'll be able to make requests, like having it tell your kids a bedtime story. The chatbot will also be able to respond to questions. The new feature has similarities to Amazon's Alexa and Apple's Siri voice assistants. It'll be available in the app within the next 2 weeks. In a few hours, President Biden is scheduled to meet with his technology council in San Francisco. The president is expected to preview a new artificial intelligence executive order. It will reportedly seize the opportunities and manage the risks posted by AI. President Biden is also planning to announce $100 million in new funding for health technology research. While in the Bay Area, Biden is also scheduled to attend three campaign fundraisers.
The writer's strike is officially over. 3 days after a tentative agreement was struck, the leadership of the Writers Guild unanimously approved the deal with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, clearing the way for members to ratify it and get back to work. NBC's Chloe Milas shares reaction from writers and actors.
This morning, the 148-day writer's strike is officially over. The WGA board and council releasing a statement late Tuesday saying that the new agreement unanimously passed and is now in the hands of guild members.
Feeling really happy, actually a lot of emotions. The deal is still tentative because we still have to vote on it, but very, very happy that there seems to be an end in sight.
The 94-page agreement includes much of what writers have been waiting for. Increased residuals and transparency for streaming content. Pay increases, with most members getting a 5% raise. Increased health and pension contributions. And specific guidelines around the use of AI, including that it cannot be considered source material and can't be used to undermine a writer's credit or separated rights. Writers taking to social media to share their relief and gratitude. One posting, thanks to every member who negotiated and every member who walked the walk. The provisional 3-year agreement was reached late Sunday between the WGA and AMPTP, which represents streaming and studios, including Comcast, the parent company of NBC Universal. Tuesday's vote to move the deal through and end the strike right away means that late night shows and daytime talk could be back as soon as next week. Jimmy! And fresh episodes of your favorite scripted shows could be back on track by January.
We did everything that we could.
However, it remains to be seen if there will actually be actors available to act.
We can't do anything without actors. We need them desperately.
The SAG-AFTRA union saying Tuesday, we are reviewing the WGA's tentative agreement and are committed to achieving a fair and just deal for our members. We remain on strike. We will not speculate regarding schedule or next steps.
I'm hoping end of October, I'm done walking this line, even though I love it, but my feet are tired. I'm ready to get back to work.
Today, thousands of writers can do just that. Hollywood, now one big step closer to reopening.
That was Chloe Malas reporting. Now to the UAW strike, where nearly 20,000 members are on the picket line. It is day 13 of union workers around the clock gathering outside the gates of at least 40 plants across the country right now. Today, former President Donald Trump is expected to hold a rally in the Detroit area and talk with UAW members. His visit comes on the heels of President Biden's historic visit to the picket line. Biden is the first sitting U.S. president to do so.
Tonight is the night we find out if the 82nd Airborne Chorus from Fort Liberty will claim the title for this season's America's Got Talent.
Brother, let me be your shelter. Never leave you all alone.
The chorus sang Brother by the group Need to Breathe in their final live performance. It left all the judges, including Simon Cowell, in awe of not just the group's incredible talent, but their service to our country as well.
And I want to thank every single one of you for what you do, what you stand for, and what you just did just now, because that's what I call a moment, and I've changed my mind. This was the best performance of the night so far.
Hopefully America agrees. The winner will be announced right here on WRAL at 9, and we'll have live reports from the red carpet during our news at 4, 5, and 11.
From Fort Liberty, we are pulling for these hometown heroes. Not all breast cancer can be detected by mammograms. Other screening options women have if they have dense breast tissue.
Plus, thousands more school districts will soon be able to provide free meals to students. How a change in a government rule is making that possible.
Breast cancer is the most common cancer in women worldwide. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a time to increase awareness and encourage women and men to get an annual mammography. Women with dense breast tissue have less fat and more glandular and connective tissue. They are also at a higher risk of developing cancer. But there are several exams that can help identify cancer. Doctors may recommend patients get an MRI, which uses magnets and radio waves to examine images of the breast.
So MRI looks at blood flow in the breast tissue and compares it to the blood flow throughout that breast, the opposite breast. And the idea is that cancer is going to have more blood flow.
Another option to consider is getting a molecular breast imaging test, or MBI. This exam uses a radioactive tracer that can identify cancerous cells. Finally, contrast-enhanced mammography combines mammography and IV contrast to examine blood flow in the breasts. Be sure to talk to your doctor about which option is best for you.
Doctors are sounding the alarm about the shortage of life-saving cancer drugs. A leading researcher said doctors are dealing with a crisis that is delaying treatment and affecting lives. Another doctor said cancer therapies to treat children are especially in short supply. 75% of pediatric oncology centers don't have enough supply of the chemotherapy drug used on a wide variety of childhood cancers. Doctors say the shortages are unique to the U.S. Analysts say part of the problem is most of the drugs they're short on are generics, priced so low they don't make a profit, so companies are reluctant to make them. Long-term exposure to certain kinds of air pollution could possibly be linked to the risk of dementia. Researchers looked at 9 emission sources. Some of those included agriculture, wildfires, road traffic, and coal combustion for energy production. Agriculture and open fires have the strongest air pollution dementia associations.
More students will soon have access to free breakfast and lunch at school. How the government is helping to ensure that no child goes hungry.
Plus, it's been 6 years since Colin Kaepernick played in the NFL, but apparently he still wants a shot. Coming up, his latest effort to get back on the gridiron. It's a big birthday for a tool we use every day. Google was created 25 years ago today. Two doctoral students at Stanford University wanted to create a more accessible World Wide Web. Since then, Google has transformed into how we find information and communicate. A lot has come from the company, from Gmail in 2001, Maps in 2005, to YouTube in 2006. Many things have changed since 1998, including the logo, and today's doodle on the Google homepage shows the logos throughout the years. Millions more students will now have access to the free school meals program. In the past, 40% of enrolled students had to participate in income-based federal assistance programs in order for schools to qualify for the community eligibility provision. The Department of Agriculture lowered the threshold to 25% to expand the program. The agency says the move will help decrease childhood hunger as well as improve childhood health.
Our teacher of the week found her calling in her second career. WRA's Ryan Schrader heads to Selma for an emotional moment as a teacher hears what she's meant to one family.
One, two, three, eyes on me.
One, two, eyes on you.
Johnston County native Heather Jones grew up wanting to be a teacher.
Respect others, respect your school. People talked me out of it because of money. And they would say, you're never going to make any money. You're going to be stressed out all the time, which that's right. You know, you are. Desk. Duh. Good job.
Jones got a business degree and worked at a bank for several years.
Sandbox. And I couldn't stand sitting in an office, and I did not like grown-ups. Ethan, Hazley, come get in line. Let's see.
That's when Jones found her calling. She went back to school and became a teacher. She's now teaching kindergartners at Thanksgiving Elementary School in Selma. A grandparent sent me a note nominating Mrs. Jones for Teacher of the Week, saying that she and instructional assistant Ebony Watson have made a huge impact on their grandson.
He's come a long way, and he's grown so much. The children and parents love her. She has always got the best attitude. What do you think?
I know who that is.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm sorry, because I love that kid. Well, I love all my kids, but that's a really special student. That makes me feel really great. I feel like that's my job, to empower them to be the best they can be. And that student she's talking about right there, I've poured my heart into him.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm pleased to tell you, you are WRAL Teacher of the Week.
Heather Jones is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Ms. Jones.
A round of applause for Miss Jones. She has a daughter who's also planning to become a teacher as well. If you'd like to nominate your child's teacher, go to WRAL.com, enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick asked the New York Jets to consider signing him to the team's practice squad. Kaepernick sent a letter to the team's general manager last week after Jets starting quarterback Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon just four plays into the first game of the season. The 34-year-old drew controversy for kneeling during the national anthem to protest racial injustices and police brutality in the U.S. He has not played in the NFL in more than 6 years. It's unclear if the Jets responded to Kaepernick's request. Tonight, the Durham Bulls could clinch their third straight International League championship. The Bulls beat the Norfolk Tides last night in Game 1 of their best-of-three series. They scored five runs in the eighth inning and pulled away for a 10-5 win. First pitch of Game 2 is at 6:35 tonight in Norfolk. You can watch the game live on WRAL Sports Plus. You only need one more win out of the next two, and they hang another pennant. It's a dynasty.
We believe in our Bulls, for sure. Lots of cloud cover out there. It looks like it's going to rain. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with our chances for some drizzle or rain.
You know, it is, it's drizzly out there in some places. As a matter of fact, meteorologist Mike Mays is in the building, and he said, it's pretty drizzly out there when he came in. So it's a little bit hard to see on the cameras, but of course, drizzle has such fine particles that it doesn't really show up very well on the radar, and sometimes it's hard to see on the cameras as well. But definitely gray in Goldsboro and Fayetteville, Apex, and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, that's our newsroom there in Fayetteville. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening out in the tropics. We continue to watch Tropical Storm Philippe. The 11 a.m. advisory has this slowing down, but increasing in intensity. So it's now moving west at 9 miles per hour, but the wind speed has picked up from 45 to 50 miles per hour. That's pretty non-consequential because it's not really headed anywhere where it's going to do a lot of damage. By 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, it does brush by the northern Leeward Islands right here with 40 mile per hour winds, and then becomes a tropical depression moving across Puerto Rico and some of these larger islands of the Caribbean as a tropical depression with winds at 35 miles per hour. Now, that's definitely breezy, and there'll be some heavy rain with this, but nothing that's going to cause much widespread damage. We continue to watch this wave that's coming off the coast of Africa, a 90% chance that it develops in the next day or so, or in the next 7 days. Most likely it'll be sooner than later. We take a look at the computer model forecast. They're a little bit different than the previous run this morning, keeping this moving west a little bit longer, but then swinging it up to the north. As long as it swings northward, it's likely to move out into the Atlantic and not have a big impact on land. So far so good, but that's one that we'll definitely keep our eye on. Gray skies for the rest of the day today, and then mostly cloudy Thursday and Friday, meaning that we could see a few peaks of sunshine, but it will be more, you know, overwhelmingly cloudy than sunny. We do have this low pressure system sitting offshore. That, of course, as we talked about earlier, is forcing that northeasterly wind in here. It's a little breezy. We're seeing some gusts right now up to about 15 miles per hour, and that'll be the case through the afternoon. That low will gradually sink southward, and that's going to allow our pattern to break down a little bit. Not so much tomorrow. You can see some cloud cover for tomorrow, but by Friday, we're seeing a little more sunshine in the afternoon, and Saturday as well, we'll have some cloud cover, but we should start to see this pattern breaking up a little bit. Temperatures warming slightly, and we'll see a little more sunshine. We put 20% down for today, tomorrow, and Friday, though, just to cover the bases for a little bit of drizzle. We don't really have a lot of rain in our forecast for either of those days. We hold it in the 60s for the rest of the day today, and then mid-70s Thursday through Sunday. We're definitely out of the pattern by early next week as we jump into the 80s for Monday and Tuesday. We'll be right back with your top stories.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Police at North Carolina Central University are investigating a sexual assault on campus. It happened early this morning at a residence hall. NC Central says police have identified a suspect, but they have not confirmed whether that person has been arrested. They also have not said whether the suspect is a student at the school.
We now know the name of the man who died after a motorcycle crash in Wilson. Police say 30-year-old Alexis Ruffin died after a collision involving his motorcycle and a vehicle driven by 19-year-old Jalila Newsom. The crash closed down part of Tarboro Street while police investigated. No word on charges.
Raleigh police are investigating several break-ins this morning. Three businesses were broken into on Newbern Avenue. Security footage from one of the stores shows two people in a dark hoodie breaking into the store, stealing the cash register. Police have not said if the break-ins are connected.
Our pet of the day comes from Cat Angels NC. River is the embodiment of sweetness and calm, wrapped in silky fur. She adores people and craves affection like no other. While she can tolerate the company of other FIV plus cats, she secretly dreams of having a home all to herself. River's FIV status will not hinder her lifestyle or health as long as she's an indoor kitty. If you're seeking an incredibly affectionate companion, fill out an application on the Cat Angels website so that you can meet her in person.
Search is on for a missing rare 23-year-old tortoise in Wisconsin. Brittany Hudson was 20 years old when she purchased Augusta, also known as Gus. Hudson realized the 25-pound red-footed tortoise escaped from her backyard. She's notorious for hiding in dark places and can't swim. Brittany is offering a reward for Gus' safe return home.
Hope they find him.
Yeah.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great Wednesday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.